The following broadcast is brought to you by the friends and partners of Revival Ministries International.
Let me bring Evangelist Shuttlesworth back. He's going to be joining me every night. We're going to be talking about the end times, the rapture, the catching away of the church, the reign of the Antichrist, the mark of the beast. And so I just want to welcome him back. Let me ask him a question, and then you just run with it, and then I'll do the altar call right after that. So you welcome Evangelist Jonathan Shuttlesworth. Let me ask him this question as he comes back and joins me. Obviously, you and I spend a lot of time talking on the phone, so I know exactly what you feel. In your spirit, and I'm just asking you for the benefit of the viewers and people tuning in for the program today, is this the end? Is this the start of the tribulation or what? Why don't you just take it and you run with it and go for it?
Yeah, well, that's what people, you know, I liked what you're talking about, because you said how you grew up Pentecostal and you heard that kind of preaching all the time, where you were always ready for Christ to return. That's how I grew up. My dad would preach on that at least once a week, and I traveled with him as a kid. To the point, one time when I was in eighth grade and my sister was in fifth grade, we came home in Maine, and my mother had stepped out, and it took her longer to get back home than she thought. It was the first time we ever came home, and my mom wasn't there, and my dad was gone. The second there was no one in the house, my sister just fell on the linoleum floor of the kitchen and started to yell, "We missed the rapture, we missed the rapture," and started crying. I mean, that's how you were ready for Jesus to come. And then now, because people haven't heard preaching on that, the first time trouble hits, like I know this thing feels like it's gone on for 4 months, but it's been like 30 days, a little over 30 days. You know, people think they're in year three of the tribulation. The timeline of events is very important to understand, because I'm not saying everybody that doesn't understand the rapture and tribulation that's a Christian lives under a spirit of fear. But I've never met someone that doesn't understand the catching of the way of the church before the tribulation. I've never met one. I'm not saying they don't exist. That doesn't have like a fear element on their preaching and their life. Because if you think you're going to have to go through the tribulation, you're going to, you know, I'd buy land in northern Saskatchewan. I'd dig a hole under the ground. I'd have powdered milk and AK-47s and all that. But when you understand it the Bible way, that God will not pour out his wrath from heaven while his children are still on the earth. That never happened in the Bible. Noah didn't have to swim to the ark. Noah didn't have to find a tree branch and tread water till the flood subsided. Angels put Noah in the ark and sealed the door before the first drop of rain fell. Lot didn't have to run through the flames to make it out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Angels hurried Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah, and then the fire fell and destroyed the cities. And Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot, so it'll be in the day when the Son of Man returns. Angels took them out, and then judgment fell from heaven. The Bible says angels, Matthew 13, this is the clearest scripture to help you understand what time we're living in. Matthew 13, the parable of the farmer. Matthew 13, 24. Here's another story Jesus told them. The kingdom of heaven is like a farmer. The kingdom of heaven is like a farmer who planted good seed in his field. But that night, as the workers slept, his enemy came and planted tares among the wheat. So remember that, tares and wheat. Then slipped away. When the crop began to grow and produce grain, the tares also grew. The farmer's workers went to him and said, "Sir, the field where you planted the good seed is full of tares. Where did they come from?" "An enemy has done it," the farmer exclaimed. "Should we pull out the tares?" "No," he replied. "You'll uproot the wheat if you do. Let both grow together until the harvest. Then I will tell the harvesters to sort out the wheat, the tares, tie them into bundles and burn them, and to put the wheat in the barn." Verse 36. Then leaving the crowds outside, Jesus went into the house. His disciples said, please explain to us the story of the weeds, the tares in the field. Jesus replied, the Son of Man is the farmer who plants the good seed. The field is the world. The good seed represents the people of the kingdom, and the tares are the people who belong to the evil one. The enemy who planted the tares among the wheat is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are the angels. Listen to this, verse 40. Just as the tares are sorted out and burned in the fire, so it'll be at the time of the end of the world. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will remove from his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. And the angels will throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in their Father's kingdom. Anyone with ears to hear.
Okay, we lost the connection there, folks. You got to see how we're doing this. This is crazy. And they'll let me know the moment he's back. Again, this is so important that you understand these truths, because if you don't, people, a lot of people have been calling me saying, well, what is it? What do we do? Especially maybe not for some of you in America, because there are states that are really not affected. I think there's 22 states that have had very little in this whole thing and what's taking place. But there are others like New York City. I mean, total lockdown, and they planned to do that through ad infinitum. I know even in India, you know, everything was extended till the middle of May. South Africa, again, they've extended everything. So to people, when you're on the ground in the middle of all this, you begin to ask the question. And so I want to just challenge you while we're trying to get the evangelist back. What's so important that you understand today is that you have to ask God, what do you want me to do? What is it that I can do to be a part of this end time harvest? This is obviously the greatest time right now to win souls. There's no other time on the earth to win souls just like this. I mean, everybody's questioning. I don't care if they're atheists. I don't care who they are. They are questioning, saying, you know, maybe what they said in church was true. Maybe it's all true. What if this is the last, the end of days? People want to get right with God. And so this is the time when everybody, God needs every single one of you that's watching me right now. And those of you that are members of the church and River members, you know, we've been on this for years. We've been telling everybody the only thing is souls and the harvest. The only thing we can take with us when we leave this earth is people. If, let's say that the Lord told you, I'm coming tonight at midnight. Let's just say that the Lord Jesus stood right here and said, I'm coming at midnight. What would you do? What would you take the next 12 hours? That means you would have 12 hours left. What would you do for the next 12 hours? Would it be about a meal? Would it be about some sporting event? Would it be about something that interests you that you want to do before he came? Or would you take the next 12 hours? If he's coming at midnight, then I'm going to spend everything that I can to bring my family in. I'm going to warn them. Obviously, you can't get people saved in the sense of you can't make the decision, but your voice can amplify the message. We are to tell a lost and dying world that Jesus is coming very, very soon. And so, because there's an urgency in our spirits, there's an urgency. I felt that urgency when the Lord said to me, I want you to run to 300 cities of the world, one night, Holy Ghost and fire meetings. And I had everybody saying to me, what are you doing? Why are you doing these one night meetings? I said, you'll see later. You'll understand later. And why are you just going to churches? I said, because churches are the hubs for where the souls will be saved. It's not about the stadium meeting or that big thing that you packed out, that big conference. It's about a local church with a local pastor, with people that are there with them and the vision, the house, that are going to win souls. And my whole goal was, if I can get 1,000 churches that will commit to win 1,000 souls every week, that's 1 million souls every single week. I mean, you can just see the numbers on the multiplication of one will tell another, who will tell another, who will tell another. And that's how the fire begins to spread. And the Lord said to me, I want you to go to 300 cities by the end of 2020. 300. We already at 176. 170, We're at 176 cities. That's the urgency that's pushing us. That's making us run to these cities. And that's what we feel the fire for. I see we've got the Avengers back. So we'll bring him back in, and you can just pick up where you left off. Go for it.
Funny. Sorry about the little break. Hope you didn't think the rapture happened. So I don't know where I cut out, but Matthew 23:13 shows you that God won't pour out his judgment while his children are still on the earth. That's so important to understand, because if you think God's ever going to be in heaven and just make up his mind one day, you know what? I've had enough. I'm judging people. I don't care whether they're right with me or not. I've had enough. You're never going to have a right relationship with God. You're never going to be able to not have a spirit of fear. Every time something bad happens, you're going to think it's God doing it. How are you going to lean on God for provision and blessing when you simultaneously think he's judging you and the one at the root of the problem? The devil is the destroyer. God is the savior. God is good. The devil is bad. God is light. The devil is darkness. And the two don't mix. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Let me show you another scripture. If you would turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5. This is an imperative doctrinal scripture. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The old life is dead. Behold, a new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. Notice 19. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. God is not counting people's sins against them right now. Chapter 6, verse 2. At just the right time I heard you, on the day of salvation I helped you. Indeed, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. The Bible says this is the time. God was angry at sinners, very angry. And when Jesus went to the cross, it fully satisfied. That's what the Bible says. Fully satisfied God's anger against sinners. God the Father turned his face from his Son, but when he did, he looked at us. The thing that made God unable to have fellowship with us was laid on Christ. Christ fully satisfied, not partially satisfied. God didn't get mad and then say, but I'm still a little angry and I want to judge people. No. Right now, under this dispensation, all of the wrath and anger that God had towards sinners was taken by Christ on the cross. No longer counting people's sins against them. You can't misinterpret that scripture. This is the time of God's wonderful favor, not ferocious judgment, wonderful favor, no longer counting people's sins against them. This is the day of salvation. Why do you think as a preacher you can look out at a crowd or an online crowd and say, no matter who you are or what you've done, God's not angry with you. God wants to have a relationship with you because Jesus paid the penalty. So where's the change going to be? When the rapture happens and the righteous, the wheat, are gathered up out of the earth, then people have a problem if they miss it. Because now what Jesus did has been rejected by those that are left on the earth. They took their whole life and said, no, not important to me. You know, maybe that stuff's true. Maybe it's not. It doesn't really matter to me. And because they refused the sacrifice. I mean, it wasn't some little sacrifice. God didn't kill a bull on our behalf or a goat. He had his only begotten Son brutalized and then nailed to a cross for me and for you and for the whole world. But when this time passes, and those that have made that decision are called up to heaven, those that are on the earth, now they're going to be under God's wrath, because God made a way of escape like it was in the days of Noah. Noah was a preacher of righteousness, building a huge boat. Everyone could see it. What are you doing? There's a flood coming. There's room for you and your family. You can come on the boat with me. Ah, you stupid old man. We're in the middle of Iraq. There's not water anywhere near us. You're telling me there's going to be a flood that necessitates a boat that's that big? And the Bible says they mocked him. They ridiculed him. They didn't want anything to do with it. And then his family and him were sealed inside by an angel. And then the rain fell. And then they beat on the door. But it was too late. What about with Lot? Lot told his son-in-laws that married his daughters, judgment is coming. An angel told me that this place is going to be destroyed. And they laughed at him, for they thought he was only joking. Me, Pastor Rodney, we're a joke to this world. Oh, those people all wound up about that stuff. But there's going to come a time when the dead in Christ will rise, and we who are alive and remain, there will be people alive at the rapture. There'll be two at work at a mill, one taken, one left. Two asleep in a bed, one taken, one left. You do not know the day or the hour of the Lord's return, so you must watch and keep ready. Keep your garments white. Live righteously, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. And that hour is very soon. The stuff my father used to preach on in the 80s and 90s, being openly discussed on the news. Microchip implants in your hand. Mandatory digital imprint from a vaccination. All of the stuff from Revelation is here. The Bible says, when you see that, let not your heart be troubled. Look up, for your redemption draws nigh. That's how you know this is not the end. This is the beginning of the end, but it's not the end. Because the Bible says, well, what's happening? He said, Jonathan, if it's not the end, why is it stuff we've never seen? America paralyzed. In 14 days, the greatest country brought to its knees. How did that happen? The Bible says before the rapture, there will be a time of great testing on the earth, but it's not from God. It's the earth groaning against the curse of sin, according to Romans 8, that it was never meant to bear. The earth will begin to act like a petulant child. Plus, the devil, knowing his time is short, the Bible says in Revelation, declared war against the children of men. After the rapture, the difference is God is pouring out judgment from heaven. Angels are opening up bowls and vials and dumping them on the earth, and there will be no relief. But we're not in that time right now, because though there are a lot of negative Bible prophecies about the last days, the last days do not belong to the devil. The last days are the domain of Jesus Christ and his church. The devil is not over our head. The devil's not eye to eye. The devil is under my feet and under your feet. Never forget that. The reason the Antichrist can't come to power until we're gone is one Holy Ghost believer carries more power in them than the Antichrist and all of his cronies put together. Greater is he who lives in you than all them that are in the world. That's why I can't get with people that believe we go through the tribulation. How could I ever cede control to the devil? Wouldn't even have to pray if we were in the tribulation. One person could get on Priceline and go fly to wherever the Antichrist is, cast the devil out of him, and keep preaching. The devil has to wait till we're gone before he takes over. Because the church has been given all power and all authority. Whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. That's why Pastor Rodney and myself, we're on the same page. We're not waiting for this thing to be over. We're standing against it, binding it. And we believe God answers prayer, and God is answering our prayer. The cases are not spiking like they were supposed to. They're declining, dropping off a cliff, and we're staying in prayer that that continues. Because this is not the hour of the devil. The devil's always had to be ready, because God doesn't run on his timetable. He runs on God's timetable. Never get that twisted. As long as the church is on earth, the church is in charge. Behold, I give unto you authority over all the power of the devil, and you will trample on serpents and scorpions, and nothing shall by any means harm you. This thing's lifting. And the Bible says before the rapture, it'll be the greatest explosion of God's power, the greatest sweeping of his glory. What did Dr. Rodney prophesy going into this year? The glory of God will cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. Do you know, my mother just sent me on my phone a message of an article that they did a poll in America of the thing Americans are most looking forward to opening up, not a Christian poll, above concerts, above sporting events, above restaurants, above bars. Do you know what topped the poll? Church. When this thing opens back up, churches will be over full. We'll probably have to do two or three services a night in night meetings to get everybody in. People have woken up. Everything that can be shaken has been shaken, and people realize now there is a heaven, there is a hell, and soon I will stand before the Lord to give an account for what I've done. And that hunger is capitalized on by preachers of the gospel that are watching me right now. Preachers of the gospel, like what, a good one in Tampa that's on the other side of this screen, and myself. There is going to be an explosive harvest. The greatest harvest of souls that's ever come into the kingdom of God is coming in very quickly. We're not going to watch it happen. We're going to be a part of it happening. And I want you to get ready. This thing's lifting. This year started off dark, but the latter end of this year shall be glorious, because it's not the devil's time. It's my time. It's your time. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not stand against it. God is going to fill you with fire to run your race and receive a great reward before we meet him in the air. And that day is very soon. Pastor Rodney.
That was powerful. Let me just say this. Tonight, he's going to be back this whole week through Friday. Now we're going to be talking about different things and aspects of the events that precede the rapture, the catching away of the church, the seven-year tribulation, the mark of the beast, the Antichrist, and all this kind of stuff. So this whole week's going to be devoted to eschatology, end-time prophecy. You don't want to miss out. But right now, I believe there are people watching, and you don't know Jesus. So I want you to close your eyes right where you are, and I'm going to go to this altar call. And when I pray with the people, as they come forward in the altar, I want you to pray together with me. So let's do this right now. Every head bowed, every eye closed, please. First of all, the way the sound changes is the heart. There are many people into success motivation. They pack arenas. But the problem is they might change the way they speak, but they're not changing the heart. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And that heart, in order to change the sound, that heart must become submitted to God. Now I'm going to ask, please, nobody moving around, only the workers, please, just hang on for a moment. It's imperative. It's a matter of life and death here today. If you're in this place and you have never, ever given your life to Jesus, I want to challenge you today. If you're watching, wherever you are, you've never said, Jesus, come be my Lord and Savior. I want to ask you, what would happen if today was your last day and you went home, put your head on your pillow, in the middle of the night, you breathed out your last breath? Where would you go? Where would you spend eternity? I want you to know there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. You don't have to go to a devil's hell, because 2,000 years ago on Calvary's cross, the price was paid and the blood was shed. And just like that old song said, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Sinners plunge beneath their flood, lose all their guilty stain. Will you allow the Lord to come and save you today? Will you allow him to come and touch you today? He will never force himself on you. He only comes where he's wanted. Will you surrender to him today? Will you say, Jesus, come and save me? The Bible says it's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is death. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. There's no do-overs. You can't make a decision on the other side. You make it now. Will you surrender to him today? Secondly, maybe you've come to this place, you gave your life to the Lord in days gone by, but you've grown cold. You're not serving God like you should. You've allowed the things of the world to come in. You've lost your first love. You've lost the peace that you had. You've lost that joy. But today you say, I'm coming back. Today I'm going to fall in love with Jesus all over again. Maybe it's something hidden that no one can see, and you've never dealt with it, because you feel safe and secure in the privacy of your own imagination. But today you say, I'm going to surrender. I'm coming back to the Lord. Maybe that hidden thing is pride, unforgiveness, bitterness, jealousy, anger, lust, the hidden things. Will you let that go today? Will you let that go today? Maybe it's something that's outward that everyone could see, and so the enemy used against you to keep it a place of guilt and condemnation. You feel like God will never use you because of things that have happened in your life. The devil's a liar. God's a God of a second chance. God's a God of a new beginning. Will you surrender afresh to him today? Maybe it's not hidden or outward. Maybe it's a storm that came against your life. You were going along. You were doing great, and then out of the blue, this thing hit you like a Mack truck from hell. A sudden divorce, a bankruptcy, the loss of a loved one, a sudden illness, the betrayal of a close friend, the loss of a job. Something happened that rocked your world. But today you say, I'm coming back. I'm coming back. I'm coming back. I'm gonna get on fire for God. The Bible says in the book of Revelation chapter 3, he talks to the Laodicean church. He said, you're rich, you increase with goods, but and you think you have need of nothing, but you're wretched, poor, miserable, blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire and white raiment that thou mayest appear. And he said, anoint your eyes with eye salt that you may see. And he talks about the temperature of their heart. He said, I would that you were either hot or cold, but you're lukewarm, and I'll spit you out of my mouth. I pray that this is not talking about the church in America, the lukewarm church. This is not the hour to be lukewarm. This is the hour to be radically on fire for God, because Jesus is coming soon. And then lastly, if you're in this place, you love the Lord, and you don't have assurance of your salvation. The devil's always lying to you, telling that you're not saved. But today you say, I want to know before I leave this building that I'm a child of God. Would you surrender? I bring up those storms because I meet even pastors of churches that were going along doing great. They had a divorce, or they didn't even expect it to happen. And they say, I don't even know how to pray. I still have the church, I preach, but I can't get back. I read my Bible, it's not the same. So I bring up those things again, a divorce, illness, betrayal of a close friend. That can devastate anybody. Loss of a loved one. You look at your own heart and make a decision today, I'm going to give my heart in total surrender to him. And today, I'm going to make sure. Today, I'm not going to be lukewarm. I'm going to be hot, caliente. I'm going to be on fire for God. I want God to use me. I was born for a purpose, and right now I'm not seeing that purpose. But from this day, I'm unhooking from the devil's plan, and I'm hooking to God's plan. If this is you, and you fit into any one of these categories, I want to pray with you and for you right where you are across this building. Quickly, put your hand up right now and say, pray for me right now. God bless you. 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 Under the overhang, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Young and old, God bless you. God bless you. Stick it up high and say, yes. Yes, I'm going to get radically on fire for God. God bless you. Anybody else, just slip it up high. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, 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 yes. Thank you over here. Yeah, right at the back. Two hands over there. Yes, slip it up high and say, yes, 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 yes. Thank you. Once you've raised those hands, you can put them down. I want you to look at me right now, please. Look at me. I'm on this side over here. If you're in this section here and you did not raise your hand, but you want to be included in the prayer, we're going to pray right now. Slip your hand up and say, include me. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you. What about this section? I got your hand there. What about this section? You didn't raise your hand but want to be included. Put your hand up right now. God bless you. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, 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 yes. Yes. I was 5 years old when I raised my hand. That little one raising the hand there. Oh, yeah. I know what that means. What about this section? Just put your hand up right now. Right at the back over there. Where else? Where else? What about this section? You didn't raise your hand. Put your hand up right now. Anybody else? Thank you. I want every person that raised your hand to stand. Stand, 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 stand. All across the building, everyone that raised your hand, stand to your feet. Stand to your feet quickly. We're going to pray. I'm going to ask every one of you that is standing to come and just stand at the altar. We're going to pray together. Come, come, come. It'll be fine. Come, come. Right at the altar. Let's just help them as they come. Put them in the middle, guys, please. No turning back. No turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me. The world behind me. Come now. Come now. He calls you. Come. The world behind me. No turning back. The service is not finished yet because we're going to receive communion together. That's how we close our Sunday service. For your protection. The bread, the body that was broken for your healing. You're not going to die before your time. And then the blood washes you clean and protects you. No, you're not dying by calamity. I don't care if you get on a plane and they have a bomb, it won't go off with you on it. You'll not live in fear. You will not live in fear. 1,000 shall fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand. It will come, not you. As I said that, I heard the Lord say, tell him that I'll be about him as a wall of fire. He said he put a wall of fire around you and your wife. And no harm and evil will come nigh to you. If they try to touch you, God says, I will take care of them. And you don't need to worry about one thing. And he says you have many angels around you. And they're not little baby angels that fly around for the Valentine's Day and shoot bows. These are big angels and they will watch over you. Hallelujah. Amen. There's no security firm that can do what these angels do. And there's many of them. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. And let me let you in a secret. It's the same way for you too. If you believe. People staring at me. Smile. It's happy. I want all of you to look at me. You know, you're the reason that I came from Africa as a missionary. You say, well, you didn't even know me, but I heard you calling. When God touches your heart, you hear the cry of people that are in need. And today, you've not come to man. I'm just a messenger. But today you've come to the Lord. And today, if you mean business with God, God means business with you. Whether you come for the first time, or you come to recommit your life, or you come to make sure,
Today, if you believe, he will come and he will touch you and he will change you. It's got nothing to do with changing on the outside, but everything changes on the inside. Even when you go home, things might be the same, but inside is different. And everything changes. How many here, you feel there's a higher purpose for your life? Okay. How many have already been beat up by the devil? I mean, you've been put through the ringer. Well, that is coming to a close today. From this day, all of that ends. Because now I'm a sheriff. And I tell you, it's ending today. Amen. And from this day, your life will be transformed by the blood of Jesus. And from this day, God's going to give you his eternal purpose for your life. That means every day when you wake up, you're about heaven's purpose, heaven's plan. And God will bring you out of whatever situation you find yourself. Some of it doesn't happen instantly, but as the days and weeks and months happen, you begin to walk out of it. Are you with me? And if you come, be a part of what we're doing here, we'll help empower you. And everyone's needed. It don't say, well, I'm just too old. We need everybody. We need young people. We need older people. We need everybody. And somebody said, what's the age limit? Let me think about it. 120. Somebody said, but I'm 121. Okay. All right, we'll include you. And God will use you for his specific purpose. There's a special purpose why you were born, why you're here on the earth. So we're going to pray. I want you to close your eyes, raise your right hand to heaven, and pray this together with me. Say, Father, I come to you, in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, you said in your word, if I confess with my mouth, Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. And I believe in my heart that God has raised you from the dead. I will be saved. So, Father, right now, I confess Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me in your blood. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for shedding your blood for me. Thank you that on the third day you rose for me. And thank you that you're coming back again for me. From this day on, I'll never be the same again. I confess Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. He is my Lord and my Savior. And right now, by faith, in the finished work of the cross, and by the shed blood of Jesus, I am saved. Thank you, Lord, for saving me now. Now lift both hands and just thank him right now. And let me, I'm gonna pray over you. Father, I pray that you would seal them now by your blood and by your spirit, that on that day, not one will be missing. Raise them up to be mighty men and women of God and use them to impact this generation. And we pray this now in Jesus' name. I pray the fire of the Holy Ghost on you. Fuego de Dios, I pray the anointing of the Holy Ghost upon your life, that God would use you, that every bondage be broken, that every addiction be broken, that everything that's hindered you back be broken in the name of Jesus. And Father, use them. Use them for your glory, we pray. And fill them with your joy. Fill them with your joy. Fill them with your peace. And we thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. Amen, 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 amen. Amen, amen. Come on, I don't hear a sound. There's the sound come out of you. Come on. Amen, 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 amen. Amen, 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 amen.
This program has been brought to you by the friends and partners of Revival Ministries International in Tampa, Florida. For more information on the ministry of Drs. Rodney and Adonica Howard Brown, or for additional resources, visit revival.com.